Okay, so what we are going to be talking about today is, let me just get it in full screen. Oh, maybe, hold on. Slideshow, play from start. There we go. There we go. Is distance journeying for others? And it's funny because we actually had a different curriculum originally planned out, but this one just kept coming up. And so it's part of the listening is we just decided to kind of switch around the curriculum and do this one first. And so like Colleen said before, it might be a little soon, but I think it's good to get these things out of, not out of the way, but it's good to start building these things now so that you guys can just continue to practice them. And they're all going to start feeling more comfortable the more that you do them. And you can do these for personally, if you happen to be a practitioner, this is a great tool to have for your sessions, for your distance sessions. It really takes them to a whole new level. Even if you're just doing this personally, it takes them to a whole new level. The other thing that this can really help you with too is if you're doing distance Reiki for yourself, if you're sending it to yourself in the future, you can use some of these techniques also. So, a couple things that we need to talk about with distance Reiki and journeying, distance journeying for others is remember that the common intention of a journey is to obtain spiritual guidance, inner guidance, information, healing, and empowerment from higher sources of consciousness. This is true when you're journeying for other people as well. You are there to obtain spiritual guidance for them. Help them develop their own inner guidance and hear their own inner guidance, healing, and really to empower them. And you are accessing all of these things from a higher source of consciousness rather than from your ordinary mind. Colleen's going to go over the instructions on how to do this at the end. I'm going to do more of the why. But it's very similar. You're going to be taking them basically over the Bridge of Light, just so you can kind of have an idea as we're talking about this of what it looks like. So there's really two big elements when it comes to distance journeying. There is listening. That's a huge one. There's two types of of listening, and we actually have a whole month just on listening. So I'm only going to cover it a little bit briefly here. We have active listening and we have divine listening. Active listening is listening with our ears. That's what we think of as listening. Divine listening is listening with our heart. Active listening is really important when you're doing distance journeying for others or even Reiki sessions for others. And we have an active listening checklist here. And these are in a little bit of a different order, so I apologize that I'm kind of skipping around a little bit. But active listening is listening with your ears. And these are actually an active listening skill builders, and we'll send this out on the follow-up university. And they are amazing when you're doing your client interviews, when you are prepping to do, when you're actually talking to your client about doing your distance journeying for others. And these are you can read through them, a couple of them. I wait for others to finish speaking before deciding how to reply. I do not engage in other activities, such as looking at my phone while I'm listening. The big one for me is I resist the temptation to assume that I know what others will say, which causes you to tune out as a result. One, a big one for Colleen that she talks about a lot is I resist the need to fill the silence. So you can go through these, and some of these you may already be good at. Some of these you there's room for improvement with. When you are really listening to others, there's a couple of things that happen. First of all, you gain a lot of freedom. You'll feel your body relax. You'll feel everything start to open up for you. You will also, a lot of your resistances will subside. So that's an interesting effect. But how it affects the other people is one of the biggest healings that you find when you're working with other people is that a lot of people feel that they're not heard. It's a very common thing in sessions. And when you get down to the root of a lot of what's going on for people, it is that they feel that they're not heard. When you fully hear people, for them in their life, and it provides how much in this world we are fighting for our voice to be heard.
Robin, you're kind of cutting in and out, so stay unmuted to let you know when that happens.
Thank you. Yeah, my internet is not the greatest down here. When you, so if you think about that in terms of your own self and how much we, I feel like a lot of us feel, I think most of us feel like a lot of times, even if it just is in certain situations, that we are not being heard or that we have to fight for our voice to get heard or fight for a word in edgewise. How nice it is when you have somebody listen to you, and how much you open up when you have somebody listen to, how much you let your guard down when you have somebody fully engaging and listening to you. And when you start to think about this concept, you'll start to notice when you do listen and when you're not listening, and those times when you need to switch into listening mode. I just had this happen actually this last Friday. We were at a social gathering, and somebody who's very, very spiritually experienced and professional and, you know, in a mentor position, I was having just, you know, it was a social engagement. So it was kind of just casual conversation. So you're not going to go into these listening things in all situations. But I realized that she was talking about some stuff like work stuff and spiritual stuff. And I realized at the time, I was like, oh, I'm not fully listening. And it was amazing how much me switching into that mode in that moment, I was able to hear, I was able to be receptive to, and also that she then was able to share with me. It opened up an entire dialogue that probably wouldn't have happened if I didn't notice that I wasn't fully engaging in listening to her. So this is very true when it comes to distance sessions for others, journeying for others. You have to very much actively listen for them so that you can divinely listen for them, or actively listen to them so that you can divinely listen for them. So we're going to do a little exercise right now. Colleen, do you think we have time?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do a little exercise right now. And so I'm actually going to stop the sharing for just a second.
Well, you have to show the owl picture.
Okay. Hold on. Let me, my computer is.
It's so cute.
Operating.
I couldn't believe you found it.
All right. Well, how about I do it after, since I'm already unshared? I'll do it after.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So for this exercise, everybody, you're going to keep your eyes open and focus on a distant spot in front of you. Put your hands in gassho and feel your second fingers touch. Bring your hands up in front of you and separate them so they are an inch or so wider than your face. Remain focused in front and move your hands out to the side of you until you can no longer see them. Notice all the area in between and widen your vision so that your hands do become part of your vision. Now put your hands down and close your eyes. Listen to the quietest sound that you can hear. Listen to the sounds behind you. Listen to the sound in front of you. Listen to the sound above you. Listen on either side of you. Now breathe through your nose and smell. Now breathe through your mouth and taste the air. And when you are ready, open your eyes. So we're going to be doing a few little exercises like this throughout the class. What this is starting to do is starting to open up your senses. This is a whole body listening exercise. You can do this as much as you want. Listening to the quietest sound you can hear is a really grounding exercise, which is really nice. These are just exercises to help you start to notice too your extrasensory perceptions. So when your hands are out here, you being able to start to see them, this activates your intuition. This starts to be able to see, help you see all the way around you at all times, and also awakens your whole body listening. So that is a really important part of listening, is whole body listening. So that falls into the active and the divine listening. It falls into kind of both, because you are listening with your ears, but you're also listening with all of your extra sensory perceptions as well. So the other...
I'd like really, to add to that real quickly too, and how Lee and Anne, we were talking about you listening from the mouth of God. That's where I believe that ability came in for me, is in widening my listening consciously. And what Robin did is, it's called owl eyes. And so it's expanding your field of awareness. So it's vision, but it's awareness. And also, I believe it expands your field of your instincts, because your instincts need that 360 view at all time when you're listening in your environment. For those of you that go, you know, deep into the country, into places in the mountains, etc., or maybe you're in the middle of the city and you need to have that full vision, perception awake, perceived from that whole body view. So Lee, I would say that's also where that was coming in, that listening from behind you. So anyway, thanks, Robin.
No, thank you. And like I said, we're going to be covering this really in depth. This is just kind of an introduction to it, but listening is one of the greatest skills that you can develop. It's one of the greatest skills for your personal or professional practice. And it's not quite so linear that it's just active and divine. They start to meld somewhere around these owl eyes, where you do have this whole body listening. So we just want you to become aware, especially because we will be doing interviews tonight, that you can listen with your ears, your heart, your heart, your all of it. Yeah. Okay, and I'm going to put on the owl eyes picture that I found. Let me share that again. Okay, there you are, Mr. Owl. So, okay. We will send out these active listening checklists as well. So kind of take a look at it, Adam. Start and see where you are good at them and places that you have to improve too. Be surprised. And, you know, as Colleen has said before, this never stops. You always get better at listening. It's a constant lessons and it's constant improvement in listening. So she's still doing it.
I have to stop myself all the time and pay attention.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And it's not always, you know, sometimes you're just gabbing with your friends and it's, you know, I'm not going into active listening in those times. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So another really important one is intuition. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. There are a lot of different types of intuition that we all may experience, that we all have, and we call them the clair senses. And we took this graphic from somebody else. The credit is down here. I don't think you can see my arrow. And so this is who made this graphic. We're going to be making our own because we think that clair intellect, which we added down here, is so important. It's been a huge piece for me, for clients, for a lot of people on our other Next Step class too, to understand that this is a form of intuition. So you can see here you have clairvoyance, which is clear seeing, claircognizant is clear knowing, clairaudience is clear hearing, clair empathy is clear emotional feeling, clairsentience is clear physical feeling, tangency is clear touching, clear smelling, and clear tasting. And then we have clear intellect, which is clear thinking. We are going to be spending a lot of time with these as well. Throughout the entire course, we're going to spend an entire class on them. Also, we want you to get be aware of all the different things that you are so you can start understanding how your intuition manifests for you. So you may have any one of these or multiple ones of these. At any point, they can change too. You'll find some that are stronger than others. So I was using this example the other day. When I'm doing sessions for other people, it's not when I'm doing self-Reiki or journeying for myself, but when I'm doing sessions for other people, I actually have things show up in movie references. And I used to laugh about it because I used to think, this is so strange. Like I will see a scene from a movie. So I guess it would be kind of a clairvoyance, a clear scene. So I used to think it's kind of funny. And after a certain amount of time of this happening, it happens a lot, almost in every session that I have these movie references come up. I realize, oh, this is a type of clair for me. This is a way an intuition is coming through. So just as an example, in one of my sessions, and this person wouldn't mind me sharing this, that she had over her house a bubble. It was almost like a shell that was not, it was a protection mechanism and it wasn't letting anything in, but it also wasn't letting any light in. And it was there's a scene from Ghostbusters 2 where they have this like pink ooze that hardens over a museum. And it showed me that scene. And it just is so funny because like what a random movie reference that is. And it happens over and over and over again. And there's not a specific Claire, what a Claire movie reference is, Claire theater, I don't know. But it's the more of the point is that your intuition different forms. So to understand that these guys, what it could possibly show up as. And that can change in one session. That's just one part of my session. That same session, I had all sorts of things happen that might be all of these different senses. Or you could just have one. So there's not a right or a wrong when it comes to intuition, when it comes to your clair senses. When you're doing sessions for other people, it can show up in all different ways. And just to understand that whatever's right for you is right for you. And that can be all different things. So we are going to do another little quick exercise right now. I shouldn't have clicked on that. So go ahead and close your eyes. So everybody close your eyes. And imagine a red rubber ball. And hold the red rubber ball. And feel it in your fingers. And as you are holding that red rubber ball, look down at it and see it. Now take the red rubber ball and put it up to your nose and smell it. And now take the red rubber ball and throw it up against the wall. Hear it bounce back to you. Catch that red rubber ball in your hands again. Put it up to your mouth and taste the red rubber ball. When you're ready, you can open your eyes and back to the room. So go ahead and just raise your hands. How many of you saw the red rubber ball? And how many of you heard the red rubber ball? How many of you heard the rubber ball?
You kind of cut out.
Too many funny faces this time.
That's because you cut out.
How many people tasted the red rubber ball? Oh, okay. Tasted it? Yeah, it's a really funny one. You can see people's faces. They're like, what? how many people felt the red rubber ball in your hands, the texture? And how many people just knew that the red rubber ball was there, that you didn't necessarily see a visual, but you knew it in your mind's eye? And how many people thought the red rubber ball? Yeah. So this is just a quick exercise to have you start recognizing your intuition style. So you could have had just one of those things. You could have had all of them. And it starts to let you know how your intuition manifests for you and how that can be all individual. So these things are all important when you are starting to do sessions for other people or when you're doing sessions for other people, because it can be helpful when you're in a journey state for them that you can have all of these things come into you in different ways. So and we'll be covering these a lot in this course, and especially we have one entire class based just for listening and intuition. So, Colleen, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to you so that you can talk about more of the how of things. Do you want me to share the PowerPoint?
Either way, I don't.
Or do you want to?
You can do it. Yeah. Do it. Why don't you go ahead and go on to the next thing?
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, please. So, sorry.
I wasn't really certain what you meant by thought the red rubber ball, because I had to focus my mind to think about, because, you know, you said think about one, but I don't know if, I don't know what it would be like to not think about it, but also be able to see it. Or does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is that it's more that yours could be combined. Yours could be thinking and also seeing. It's more to just, some people may not have seen it visually. And so they might have just thought about it, or maybe not had any sort of visuals or any of the other senses, and they just thought it. And so it's more for those that maybe didn't have any of the others to know that that is still a form of intuition.
I understand now.
Yeah, does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good question.
Right, I similarly had confusion. You initially asked us to visualize a red rubber ball. Then later you asked us to bring it into view and really look at the detail of it. What clair senses were you referring to for the first and then for the latter?
It might have been that the exercise might have not gone exactly how, but it's more just to I don't know if the first one, maybe I shouldn't have said the second scene, the red rubber ball. That might have been all that it is. Or maybe that it you needed it, you know, maybe somebody else needed it, that second visualization, to actually know that they visually see it, like see the detail, see the pattern of the red rubber ball.
That's why I'm asking for the difference, because mm-hmm. I can see it in my mind's eye when you bring it up just as a picture. Mm-hmm. But when you see it in detail, I don't go there. So I wanted to know which each was, so I could know which one I was strong in and which one I was weak in.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually an important thing to know for yourself. So it could be that it was in your mind's eye, and that the details, the clair scene, you don't necessarily see it. You know it in your mind's eye, but you don't necessarily see it visually. And for some people that might be opposite. They might have seen it but not known that it was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll wait till we go into more detail, because this is getting too confusing.
The more important part of the exercise is to know that, because this actually happens a lot, Brenda, so I'm glad you're bringing it up, because people go into like, oh gosh, exactly which one was it at that exact moment? And the more important, the overarching idea of it is that there are different senses. People experience them differently. You may experience them differently than somebody else in the class. And to know, to start noticing, it's that red rubber ball exercise is not going to answer every question about which you're strong in and which you're weak in. What it is doing is it's starting to let you know that these senses exist, and that you can start examining which ones are strong for you and which ones are weak for you. It's more of like an introductory to the clair senses, so that you can start distinguishing which ones you do have happen for you. So it may not answer every single part of your clair senses questions, but it's going to start that journey for you to let you know, okay, so here's some that I had happen for me. It's like, this is an introduction. We have all of these different ones, and this is starting that journey. Does that make sense?
We should just move on.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and move into this one with the next thing that we're going to be talking about is how to journey for others. And when you're journeying for others, and I think we started talking about this last month as well, often there are three aspects. We've got the client interview, you're going to be bringing in energy and you're going to be helping people let go of their energy, of different things that are no longer serving them. You're also going to be asking them for their intention. So what we're going to do tonight, and Robin, actually it is kind of awkward to not have control of the PowerPoint. So maybe send it over to me.
Well, you're not on video right now, just so you know.
Oh, I'm not. Okay. Thanks.
Can you open it up or do you want me to just share it?
I see. Okay. Well,
I'll share it and then I'll send over the, maybe the control to you, remote control.
Okay, or just go ahead and move on to the next slide as well. Intention and move on to the next one. Okay. Yep, that works. Okay. So what we're going to focus on tonight is how to journey for others. As Robin said, you're working with your intuition and your learning or your listening skills. So when you journey for others, it's going to be the exact same format as when you journey for yourself. And if you're doing distance Reiki, like we're going to do tonight, you're going to go into the journey. The same thing, you'll be using your imagination. We've already done a good invocation. You're going to be asking your client, because we're going to go into breakout rooms, and you're going to be working with each other one-on-one. You're going to be asking each other, you're going to go into an interview, and you're going to ask each other for your intention. And then typically what's going to happen in a session are two different things. Reiki is going to help people let go of what is no longer serving them. And it is also going to bring in what they need. So typically, when I'm doing an interview with my clients, those are three common questions that I'm asking. So the first one is, do you have an intention? And the second one is, what do you want to let go of today? And the third one is, what do you want to bring in? Now, for distance Reiki, remember last month you guys learned how to do automatic writing. We encourage you to practice that tonight with each other in your journey. I'm going to go ahead and guide you guys across the Bridge of Light. I'm going to be using the Reiki symbols. We'll be going to the third heaven, and you'll be meeting the spirit guides that you work with. And when you're there, you are actually going to be asking the questions, and you're going to be in a journey for your client. What can be really helpful when you're doing distance Reiki is to use automatic writing while you're in the journey, to keep track of the information you're receiving. Is that all making sense to everybody? So the technique of journeying is the same as journeying for yourself. The interview process, and as you guys know, when you're a practitioner, you know, your clients really will often talk for as long as you will talk with them. What I find is that I can be listening to them, going through the interview with them, and I can bring it all into focus by saying to them, what are you ready to let go of today?
And then I can also, as they, after they finish that part, what would you like to bring into your life today? So today, what I would like you guys to do, we're going to go into breakout rooms, two people per room, and you're going to interview each other, and you're going to be working with your intention. Now, the intention for this class right now is about your next step. And so you may want to ask a question around of with, you may want to set an intention with your practitioner that has to do with what is your next step? What is your intention? Could be another question. Or if you already have one, you can ask the one that comes to mind. And then when you're the practitioner, you're going to ask them those questions. What are you ready to let go of today? And what would you like to bring in today? Okay, so the way this is going to work is we're going to go into breakout rooms. I am going to end up guiding you. I'm trying to figure out how to make this thing rise. Okay, Robin, why don't you go ahead and take it off of this view and okay. Go back to regular and view.
Do you want to, because Lee and Ian are in the same room with the same computer, so do you guys just want to work together? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to send you into breakout rooms. You guys are going to interview each other. You'll have the ability to come back out of the breakout room that's on your computer when you're finished. And when we all come back, then we'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and guide you through the journey. Then we'll go back into the breakout rooms. So you guys can discuss what your experience was. Okay? Everybody with me? All right. So give me a minute to do this. And we want... So hold out, hold on just a minute. And okay, so Lee, it's going to show you as the only one in your breakout room because Anne is, of course, registered with you. And then the rest of them, I'm just going to go ahead and create, and you guys, and so I'm also going to be calling you back, so this isn't a whole long conversation about life. We want to get to the journey too, so, okay. And so if you get, when you get assigned your breakout room, you can go ahead and go to it when you're ready. Okay. Out of room. And Robin and you and I can go into a breakout room. Okay. So go ahead and join.